The thing you need most from a news organization is reporting you can trust. Journalists who will tell you the truth. I'm WSHU reporter Ebong Udama. And thanks for your contributions to WSHU. Our journalists will continue to bring you reliable and trusted news coverage in the weeks and months to come, including the very important midterm elections in November. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
Bridgeport, Connecticut's police chief Roderick Porter says mailboxes and absentee ballot drop boxes in the city are secure, despite previous voter fraud problems.
We have all of those boxes. Drop boxes are under video surveillance, and that'll be monitored. And, we don't expect anything to, occur.
Porter says Bridgeport's past issues with absentee ballot stuffing were caught on city surveillance video. So he's confident that the mail-in ballot tampering or destruction of ballot drop boxes that's been going on in other parts of the country will not happen in Bridgeport. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. The fight against brush fires around Connecticut continues. Long Island had a record-breaking dry September. The candidates for Connecticut's 4th District took part in a debate last night. Plus, what's ailing America's oaks? Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Officials say that bit of rain Connecticut got last night did very little to stop brush fires. As of this morning, firefighters were monitoring around 70 fires throughout the state. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Officials say Connecticut is experiencing its worst drought on record, and until we get a soaking rain, the threat of brush fires remains. Josh Signorelli is a meteorologist with the state's Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
We checked the rain station on the fire this morning. It amounted to about 4/100ths of an inch of rain. While most people might think that was helpful, it really did nothing to help curb the fire danger threat out there.
Officials are asking residents to avoid open flames outside until the brush fire threat passes. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The lack of rainfall in September broke records on Long Island, and now this October is shaping up to be the driest ever, according to the National Weather Service. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
With virtually no rainfall this month and only a chance of light rain Tuesday and Thursday, Long Island is set to break the all-time low record of 0.18 inches. This dry October comes after the driest September on record. Just shy of a quarter inch of rain fell last month. The dry conditions have prevailed throughout the region. A brush fire in Berlin, Connecticut has been burning for over a week, and a handful of New York counties have issued burn bans. The National Weather Service predicts Halloween will be dry and warm. Temperatures are running about 10 to 15 degrees above normal. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
New Haven police cleared a homeless encampment on the city's green this week. WSHU's Isabella Fabo reports a group of advocates for unhoused people were among those arrested.
7 activists were arrested for pitching tents on the upper green, where city law bans structures like tents. They said they defied police orders to bring attention to issues facing New Haven's most vulnerable population. Alexis Terry was one of those arrested.
The organizations around here, the agencies that provide housing assistance or housing workers, they seem, in my opinion, to be understaffed, undertrained, and overloaded as far as their caseloads.
Activists say they want permanent bathrooms, land for people to camp without being bothered, and an end to the sweeps. But Mayor Justin Elliger says encampments aren't the answer.
They want the city to support a public encampment, and we do not view that as an appropriate, safe, and sanitary way to address homelessness.
Elliger says they want to create more affordable housing to solve the problem. City agencies place more than a dozen people from the encampment in shelters. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
As trees die, fewer younger ones are repopulating in Connecticut forests, and this is a concern for wildlife looking to fatten up for winter. That story is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group, HartfordHealthcare.org.
I'm Suzanne Bona, host of Sunday Baroque, inviting you to join me for a unique journey to sun-soaked Cuba in February. It's an 8-day excursion with music, history, and art. It's a vibrant island. We will visit leading music schools in Havana. We'll attend classical music concerts. We'll visit the Museum of Fine Arts. And we'll enjoy traditional meals of Cuban cuisine and Havana's hottest private paladars. There's a lot more, too, and you can read all the details at WSHU.org.
Democratic Representative Jim Himes, Republican Michael Goldstein, and Independent Ben Wesley met for their only debate as candidates for Connecticut's 4th Congressional District yesterday. The debate touched on topics like the presidential election, abortion, and the Middle East. Goldstein says he thinks abortion is a state issue and not a constitutional one.
And the only way that you can make it a fundamental right is to actually pass a constitutional amendment. Other than that, it really becomes a state's right issue, whether you like it or not. And reality is that there are lots of powers rest in the states, and we certainly don't want people in Wyoming telling us how to live.
Himes highlighted a recent Trump rally in his opening remarks.
2 days ago, Donald Trump held a rally at Madison Square Garden. A speaker called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. The Democratic presidential candidate was called a prostitute. There were watermelon jokes about a black man. It won't surprise you that today Donald Trump called it a love fest.
Himes has represented Connecticut's 4th district since 2009 and is seeking a 9th term. Goldstein is a Greenwich Town representative and former president of the New York County Medical Society. Police in Bridgeport say they are looking for a suspect in a shooting on the University of Bridgeport campus last night. The university was on lockdown and police put extra patrols around campus, but a spokesperson said it was only a precaution, not an active shooter situation. They say it looks as though the shooter knew the victim, who was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Suffolk County police say they found the suspect in a murder in the Hamptons dead in his home. An investigation had been going on since Monday after a 33-year-old woman was found in a guest room at an East End spa. Police say this was an isolated event. One pound of acorns contains more than 2,000 calories, which makes it a crucial fall food source for bears and other wildlife as they fatten up for winter. But unfortunately, it's a food source that can be consistently unreliable. Jenny Ahrens spoke with the one man in Connecticut responsible for finding out if it will be a banner or bust year for acorn consumers.
I can actually get a clear view of the canopy.
J.P. Barsky is really passionate about trees.
We have a number of challenges in our forest. A lot of people just see a giant green wall of things and think that everything is fantastic, when in reality, it's not.
It's his job every year to find out how Connecticut's oak trees are reacting to environmental stressors like droughts or the invasive spongy moth. He does it by counting their acorns.
I call this the sore neck challenge. Okay.
The last 2 weeks of every August, Barsky travels all over the state and stops at nearly 600 oak trees to conduct the annual survey.
And then I'm looking up into the canopy through my binoculars and counting the number of acorns that I can see in 30 seconds.
I met up with the agricultural research technician on a hill at the edge of Sleeping Giant State Park in Hamden. The Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station began collecting data on acorn production in 2007 to evaluate how wildlife populations respond to years when acorns are plentiful versus scarce.
They drive a number of other ecological processes for small mammals, bird populations, insect populations. A number of insects feed on acorns. And so counting them gives a great picture for other ecologists to do their research work.
He surveys the same trees every year, and if one dies, Barsky looks for another in the same vicinity. Connecticut is one of several eastern states which conducts an annual acorn survey. The data is not just important to determine if deer, bears, and wild turkey will have a plentiful food source in the fall. Barsky says it can paint a picture of how the trees are responding to stresses from defoliation and disease.
That helps land managers determine whether they should have a forest harvest or not in some cases.
This year's survey showed red oak trees had a bumper acorn crop. Nearly 87% of red oaks produced acorns compared to a historical average of about 60%.
So it's surprising to me that I'm seeing them. That's kind of an unexpected result.
That's because red oaks produce acorns on a two-year cycle. So he thought the hard frost in May 2023 would have negatively impacted the tree's ability to produce acorns this year, but it didn't. Another result that puzzles Barsky is the lack of acorns produced by white oaks, which go from pollination to fruiting in one growing season.
I thought this year the flowering time for in late May was really ideal for white oak trees, but I haven't found a white oak acorn yet this year.
By the end of Barsky's two-week survey, he determined only 9% of white oaks produced acorns. This year's white oak results are becoming a disturbing trend, he says.
And what I've seen is about 10% of the white oak trees have not had an acorn observed during the study period, which is really remarkable.
And it's not just a Connecticut phenomenon. There is growing concern about the lack of white oak saplings in the entire country, which is a real problem for the wine and whiskey industry that rely on barrels made from white oak trees, because they contain a crucial characteristic called tyloses, which can make them watertight.
If we don't have white oak coming for our next future forest, their industry is going to be really struggling to perpetuate itself.
So a collection of private and public groups teamed up several years ago and launched the White Oak Initiative to promote the growth of future generations. Barsky says it's hard to figure out why white oaks aren't regenerating because it's likely a multifaceted issue, involving weather patterns, growing conditions, invasive insects, and even hungry deer who feed on saplings, shoots, and shrubs closer to the forest floor.
White oak is preferred species in the understory for white-tailed deer.
But it's not just white oak Barsky is concerned about.
There's not a lot of oak regeneration or even maple regeneration.
Barsky says the forest is blanketed in a thick layer of leaves, which can make it difficult for acorns and seeds to get to the soil and develop roots.
Our land use patterns have changed, and we used to have a lot of different firewood harvesting processes for charcoal, and we used to have a lot more of a fire regime in the Northeast and across the country. We no longer have that.
One thing we do have are invasive plants crowding out native species and invasive insects, which Barsky says threatens our native trees.
So all of these things are eating away at the thing that I love very much.
He hopes the data collected every year by his Sore Neck Challenge helps find answers to the puzzle of what's ailing America's oaks. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jenny Ahrens.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Well, we're almost here. We're less than a week away from Election Day. Of course, we're going to be live on the radio on Election Night, but if you can't tune in, Instagram is the place to be for election results from WSHU. We're going to be watching the key races in our region with reporters stationed at some of the major campaign events. So take a moment right now and give us a follow on Instagram so you can be ready to follow along on Election Night. We're at WSHU Public Radio. And I want to remind you once again about our voter guide over at WSHU.org, answering all your questions related to early voting, ballot measures, the candidates from your area, and so much more. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I will speak to you tomorrow.